This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Billis.
And today, since I was a very naughty boy and said some things I probably should not have said last week's show... Yeah, for which I duly apologize sincerely if I offended anyone or, I should not be suggesting that marketing schlubs get drowned in a koi pond. That was bad.
Bucket's easier.
I can come up with many other ideas, but a koi pond certainly should not have been something I should have suggested.
You can harm people the enjoy fish. Them.
Anyway, so that aside, we figured today would be a good day to talk about something a little more lighthearted, a little less controversial. Something
really?
That really can't offend anybody.
Sure.
So let's talk about ripping up your cards and destroying your board games.
Sure, why not?
So, I can't believe I didn't know this was a thing, but we haven't talked about board games much. And I thought, gee, we should talk about board games more.
Sure.
So in looking into, is there anything new going on in board games, blah, 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 any new games coming out, any new things that we could, is there anything to talk about? Anything. Board games aren't exactly an exciting, topic.
I don't know.
Just
it
saying.
Can be.
Well, there's not a whole lot of exciting, sexy news out there that we could make a show out of, as a general rule. You know,
I guess not.
So my God, there's the 10 millionth version of Monopoly coming out. I'm all aflutter.
Some people absolutely adore that game.
I know. And some people, no more koi ponds. No more koi ponds. Okay. So, in doing a little research, I spotted something I'll admit, I knew nothing about. And that was legacy board games.
Okay, well, what are legacy board games? Because I haven't heard of them before.
Yeah, I hadn't either, and so I thought, wow, we should talk about legacy. Apparently, legacy board games are a relatively new variant to board games. Started with Risk Legacy a few years back, and they've got Pandemic and a few others coming that have come out, and some more coming on down the line that take a kind of unique view of the board game experience. Now, most board games, the vast majority of them, and really this is for tabletop games in general, you sit down, you play the game, and that's it. Maybe if you want to play it again, you lay out the board again, you put out the pieces, and you play it again. The rules don't change, the board doesn't change. You may have different players, and the outcome might change by, you know, because there's dice rolls or whatever, but it's still the same game.
That almost sounds like some of the changes they've made to classic games, and they've done them digitally now, so you've got all these new rules added in. My son watches some YouTube group, and they play like Uno together. It's this online Uno game.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the rules is if a certain card gets played, then everybody takes their hand and passes it to the person to the left. So if you're down to one card and somebody plays that card, you have to give your hand to the person to the left. And now you've got a handful of cards again.
Yeah. No.
And there's other rules that go with it.
Well, that's not exactly Legacy. I hadn't gotten to that
yet.
No,
I know. It's not Legacy. I'm just saying.
It's more of a house rule.
A variant on the game.
Anyway, what Legacy is it takes that standard static board game and changes it into more of a campaign experience. The idea being that you take your game and you play it with the same, let's say, four people over multiple sessions, and it's basically more like a role-playing game in that you put stickers down on the board and write down changes to the board and whatnot based on what the game was. Like with Pandemic Legacy, maybe an entire country is wiped out. It's a dead zone. And the next session, it's the same. You're not starting again with a whole new, you know, game of Pandemic. Things continue on from where they were before. And till you're finished. Now, in the end, your board has completely changed. Your rules may have changed. You may go and smash a game piece. If that game, you know, that player is destroyed, boom, their game piece is destroyed. It's all depends on the specific rules for that particular Legacy variant. And some are done differently than others. Like, you know, they have stickers that can be removed. So it's even though you may have changed your board, well, you can just, you could take it back to zero and do it again. Or just play the game standard. I kind of like the idea of permanently changing your board. Because if I was playing Pandemic Legacy, and I keep picking on Argentina, but if Argentina got destroyed because they were wiped out by the plague, or whatever the disease was, well, there's no more Argentina. And in future games, Argentina has nobody there. It's a dead zone. That's awesome. Because
I guess it could be.
Yeah, I mean, now eventually you'd be going, oh, well, now every country's destroyed because, you know, it makes it harder and harder and harder, and you've had more and more dead zones. Well, yeah, but then what do? You remove the things that said that they're dead zones, and you start, you play the game again, or not. You can ignore those things. Point is, it's a really exciting change to the board game industry, to tabletop. Nobody's done anything like this before.
I can see this working for certain games.
Sure.
But other games, it begs the question, how are you going to turn it into a campaign? Because say you've got Clue. Let's just pick on Clue for a while.
Okay.
You've got these people. They show up. Someone gets murdered, and one of these people at your party is the murderer. You have another party the next game session. Really? You're going to invite these people? These people you thought could have been a murderer?
No, because, you know, Colonel Mustard, he may have been the murderer last time, but he has served his time, and he's been released, and now he is back. He's still your friend, and he is invited to the party.
I'm sorry, I would have a hard time still being friends with a cold-blooded murderer. Because the game does not give you any extenuating circumstances. You know, it wasn't like a murder out of self-defense, or, you know,
The man had his reasons. The man had his reasons.
Yes.
I mean, he's a colonel.
I'm sorry.
He's seen some dark things in the Boer War. Like that.
You stay away from people like that.
What? No. Are you saying we should stay away from everybody that has PTSD? This man has seen shit in the army. He's seen some bad things. And you know what?
Most people with PTSD.
Mr. Body just got in his way.
They're not out there murdering people, because the way the game goes, he stone cold murdered somebody.
Yeah, but it doesn't say why.
Now, no, that, it does
like
not.
I said, these are meant to be extended campaigns. Maybe the person playing Colonel Mustard, maybe they actually, you know, can come up with their reasons as to why. And thus, they were justified. And that's why they didn't actually go to jail. It was justifiable homicide. And that's why they are invited back. Because, you know, you got to give people a second chance.
No, you don't. Okay, so that was a bad example. How about this one? The Game of Life.
Okay.
It is a voyage from going through school all the way to retirement.
Right.
What do? Pop a pill and gain another generation?
Yeah, you pick it up from one of your children. Next time you play, it's one of your children. And maybe part of it is you have to, you know, put, you know, your parents, you start off by putting them off in a nursing home. And how do you then balance that against the whole, you know, being able to make your way through college and whatnot, because your dad has got early onset, you know, Alzheimer's, and your mom is broke, so she's having to, you know, live with your aunt, and, you know, you're just trying to get through, but you know, you got to help out your mom and your dad, and it makes things pretty dark and a lot harder each time you play.
Usually in the game with millions.
Not always. Way back when we were young, back in the 70s, the Game of Life had a suicide option.
I don't remember that.
I do.
A suicide option.
Yep. Fairly dark.
So you step into your suicide booth and choose your death.
Now, like you said, not all games are going to work with it. Now, that is, it's not like Chutes and Ladders is something you're going to turn into an extended campaign. Okay? It's not like you're going to take your chess and, well, you know, you got checkmate, you took out the king, you're the white king, the black one, so you behead the white king's piece, and now the next time you play, there's no white king. But for some board games, this absolutely could work, and it is working. It's an exciting new direction for the board gaming industry. I think it's kind of cool. Well,
I could see that. With a game like, say, what's it called? The one with the ships?
Battleship?
Yeah, Battleship. Sorry, I drew a blank on the name. Could have all kinds of things change with that. You know, like instead of using, you know, you choose a thing to, you know, you're pinging the map to see if there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hit, it creates a five or a six spot explosion that damages everything in that area.
Oh yeah, add a D6 for did you hit the boiler? Did you know strike right. The ammo racks? That sort of thing.
Knocked out their targeting. So now, if they choose a spot to hit, there's a chance that it might go off. You know, a mark one way or the other. So if they know they're going to hit, if they go to this point, and then you roll the dice, you went off to the side. Splash.
Now, moreover, what if you're allowed to move one of your ships, one piece, the direction they're heading, they can either turn or they can move forward or backwards one spot, assuming they were not hit in the last round. Even if a spot they're moving into is one that was previously shot.
That's bullshit.
That would totally screw up the game.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, we're talking extended campaigns here. Ships aren't just going to sit there while you're shooting at them. So, but again, you know, those are more simplistic games. I'm thinking more of the modern type. I mean, they started with Risk Legacy, So that's not a more modern game, but Pandemic is. And they're working on one of my favorite games, Betrayal at House on the Hill. It's getting a legacy version.
Cool.
I'm super excited by that because it does lend itself to kind of a role-playing type of feel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how they could make that work if, you know, in one session I'm the monster that's coming out against everybody, and then in the next session am I still that monster, or is somebody else the monster but they remember I was the monster like they talked about with Clue? I don't know. I'm not sure how that's going
to
work.
Wait and see.
True. But what do you think this means for tabletop gaming in the future? Is this future?
Well, I would think so. Because, face it, you know, besides family game night, board games don't have that, you know, sterling of a reputation of something that people, you know, really just go out and do.
Yeah, they're, unless you're playing it down at your local game store, it's kind of hard to get into them, except for on, like, International Tabletop Day or whatever.
Well, that and the online versions of them.
Sure.
But I'm not putting down board games. They're you know, a great diversion.
Oh, no, I absolutely love board games.
Ton of fun.
But I could see a need for freshness in the industry, and this...
Oh, definitely.
Kind of fits that bill. But I could also see a backlash where if every game is getting, you know, not every game, but a bunch of games are getting legacy rules and they're selling legacy versions just to have legacy stamped on the front, and they're just rushing, you know, a lot of companies are just rushing these games out without really producing a good game beforehand. Then you're going to get people going, you know what? Legacy kind of sucks. Let's go back to playing just a standard old tabletop game. Or move away from tabletop gaming entirely.
Well, and that's going to happen. Because you're talking about big business.
Mm.
Big business thinks about the dollar. They don't care about the product as much as how much is it going to make us? So if they can slap a legacy title on there, whether it's a good legacy title or not, and sell 50,000 units, woohoo! Great, yeah. That's 50,000 they didn't have before.
Yeah.
And if it, in the end, comes back and bites them in the ass, well, that's not their fault. That's just the market. The market for board games has fallen out.
Uh-huh.
Not our fault. They're too stupid to think about, you know, the repercussions of doing it this way. Because, hey, if they could think about the repercussions, they would have paid attention to what Star Wars did. And then again, Konami followed suit and did something equally as stupid. But we got in that in our last
episode. And that's a totally different industry. It really is.
But it doesn't matter. It's the driving force behind every one of them is money.
True. That's why you have 20 million versions of Monopoly.
But that's just it. Logic, reason, and all these other, you know, things that should be going into their decisions are not there because that cuts into the money.
Yeah.
They're willing to cut their own throat if it makes them money right now, because that keeps their stockholders happy. And if they're keeping their stockholders happy, woohoo! Great! And we're making money! Yay! Oh no! Nobody's playing our game anymore! Gee, I wonder what happened!
Yeah. But since you're saying that basically this is almost guaranteed to happen, how do you see this affecting classic board gaming, then?
They're going to do any kind of spin they can to sell their product. It doesn't matter what it is. They're going to, all it is, they're seeing this as, hey, we can sell more copies. All we have to do is throw these fancy little rules on there. Just do something simple. Doesn't matter if it makes sense. Doesn't matter if it works. Doesn't matter if it's fun. They can put a tag on there saying, now it's the legacy version of this.
Yeah.
And some schmuck's going to buy it because, hey, they absolutely love Monopoly. They played it when they were a kid. They have all kinds of fond memories of playing it as a kid. So now it's the legacy version. Woo! They get all their friends together and it's like, oh, this sucks.
What? It doesn't necessarily have to suck, though. For example, let's look at Monopoly. What if you could, you know how you can, you know, you buy your properties, and when you got three properties or whatever it is, you know, the same colored properties, you can then put on houses, you can put on hotels, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if, like we talked about in the pre-show, maybe you've got the cheapest properties on the board, right there at the start, right past go. And you go, okay, I've done this stuff. I've now, you know, put on the houses that I replace them. I put on hotels, whatnot. Now I'm going to go next step. Now I'm going full-ass gentrification and redoing the properties so that now instead of being the cheapest properties, if somebody wants to buy them from you, their price has now gone up. The property is now permanently a much higher value property.
Well, and again, people who have property, you could have a rule saying that they have to pay upkeep, otherwise that property starts to lose value.
Sure.
You know, instead of paying $400 for landing on what is it, Boardwalk?
I don't remember.
Maybe if they don't pay that upkeep, it drops to $350 and then to $300 and then down and down until it's a worthless property.
Yeah. Or it is foreclosed on by the bank or the state takes it, you know?
Yeah.
But along the same lines, you could also, if you have the various businesses or mm-hmm. the railroads, you can invest in them. And
yeah.
The utilities and the railroads, you could invest in them. You could, like the electric company, you could invest in it until it's gone into cable and increase its value. The railroad, if you have one of the railroads, you could invest in it, make it high-speed rail. And now all the properties on that side of the board with that railroad have increased in value because they have access to high-speed rail.
So what you're saying is anybody can invest in that railroad.
Well, no, I'm saying if it would now, if I'm working, let's say, the second side of the board that goes between jail and I don't remember what's kitty corner from the go, but I think jail is the next one down, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So if you're going between jail and the other one or whatever, there's a railroad on each of those sides. If you are, this would encourage people to try and get an entire side of the board, because if they did that, then them investing in their railroad on that side of the board, if they had all those properties on that side of the board, including that railroad, they could then invest in their own railroad to increase the properties. Or you could go, hey, you know, I own this railroad and you're working to get the entire side of this board. If I invest in my railroad and make it high-speed rail, you should pay me something for doing that for you, for increasing the value of all your properties. Maybe you now have to pay me some of, you know, you'll give me another prop, you know, give me some properties or whatever. You could work out a deal with them. This would account for a lot more wheeling and dealing. And yet, people would say, oh, well, it's just standard, you know, house rules, right? But these are permanent changes to the board. So that in the future, if you break out the game is completely different from any other person's copy of Monopoly.
Yeah.
Could be kind of unique.
Could be.
Or it could be just the 20 millionth and one version of Monopoly. Because there's so many.
Yeah.
But the point is, I'm excited. It makes me want to go out to the game store and buy a copy of Pandemic Legacy or a copy of Risk Legacy. Because I love those games. And that would be a lot. I mean, we don't have enough people here at my house to do it, but maybe I could play for my dogs and then we'll just sit down, my wife and I, and we'll have a good game of Risk.
Yeah. And then Abby wins the game and wipes everybody out.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I have a very smart dog. Abby is very smart. She would definitely know the strategy. Yeah. You have to make sure you get that linchpin of Australia or Japan, Kamchatka. There's a lot of linchpin sections you really need to get so you can sweep through and take over the world. And there's a joke to be made there, but I'm not going to make it. It involves Nazis and puppy salutes and, you know, not going to do that. Nope. I've gotten us in enough trouble with koi ponds, so, yeah.
Bark, 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 bark.
Oh, God. Right. Okay.
Darth Canine.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Yes, I know that was, you know, hopping off the Nazi theme, but, you know.
It was appropriate, just to say. It'll work. It'll do. Save me from myself. Anyway, do you have anything else to talk about?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
Cool.
It's nice to know that they're at least doing something to try and improve the board game situation.
Sure. You know, put out
it's
something.
Always fun.
I'm sorry?
I said it's always fun to, you know, get out a board game and play with all your friends.
Yeah. But this way you're not just playing another game of Pandemic. Maybe you're going to play something a little bit different.
Yeah.
So, I like that. Anyway, if y'all have forgotten, we still have a website. That's gamingstuff.website. And it still has community features. You know, it's kind of like Facebook for gamers. And having people on the site would be really handy. Just saying. So, yeah. Anyway, besides that, till next time, I'm Scoramus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.